Welcome to Menachem Begin, His Life, Legacy, and Uniquely Jewish Statesmanship, a limited series podcast brought to you by Tikva and MeirSoloveitchik.com. This special series is sponsored by the Hart N. and Simona Haston Family Foundation in partnership with the Menachem Begin Heritage Center in Jerusalem. The episodes in this study of Prime Minister Begin's remarkable leadership are drawn from Rabbi Soloveitchik's comprehensive, year-long podcast on the history of the most interesting city in the world, Jerusalem 365. Jerusalem 365 is available at MeirSoloveitchik.com. And now, on to Begin. This is episode number 16, 1983 to 2003, A Grave Near the Temple Mount.
In 1992, Menachem Begin passed away. He had been living largely removed from the public eye ever since 1983, when he resigned in the midst of the Lebanon War and in the midst of the protests relating to it roiling the country. He was at this point a broken man, above all impacted profoundly by the loss of his wife Aliza, who had passed away when he was traveling in the United States. A distance from his wife at the last moment that was so heartbreaking to him that Begin, as Yehuda Avner memorably described, brokenly bellowed, "Lama azavti ota? Why did I leave her?" Given the political circumstances of Begin's resignation and the hermit-like nature of his existence for almost a decade, one might have expected him to have been forgotten, for few to attend his funeral. Moreover, whereas David Ben-Gurion had laid in state for a full day in the Knesset, Begin had asked for a simple burial as soon as he had passed away, which was more in the spirit of Jewish tradition. One might have therefore expected the lack of ceremony to stem the size of the crowd, but the crowds came. So much so that the dignitaries in attendance were overwhelmed by the simple citizens that came out to honor the man and the leader they loved so. The New York Times reported, quote, "At his own request, Israel gave an unadorned farewell to Mr. Begin, who had died 13 hours earlier and was buried before the sun faded, in accordance with Jewish practice. There were no eulogies, only some prayers, a few tears, and many recollections from the powerful and the ordinary about his underground struggles for a Jewish homeland and his turbulent years as prime minister, from 1977 to 1983. They spoke of the heights that he had reached in helping forge the state of Israel and in signing a peace treaty with Egypt years later, but also the depths of despair to which he sank as he presided over his country's widely condemned war in Lebanon a decade ago. Mr. Begin's admirers included Mazal Cohn, an old woman who came to Israel from Iran in 1949 and who watched as others, more famous and better dressed, assembled in a meager funeral home in a poor religious neighborhood of Jerusalem. There weren't any others like him, Mrs. Cohn said. She was like countless others who supported Mr. Begin because they felt that, even though he came here from Poland, he was a champion of the Sfardim, Jewish immigrants from the Middle East and North Africa. There was no one like him, Mrs. Cohn repeated, and there won't be anyone like him again. On the Mount of Olives, thousands of other Israelis waited, a roiling crowd that pushed so hard for a view of the proceedings that some members of the Begin family found it impossible to get to the graveside. End quote. In the end, the way Begin was marked and remembered in death was a testament to his life, and the way in which he chose to be buried reflected the essence of Jerusalem and of Jewish eternity. It was at the signing of the Camp David Accords at the White House that Begin spoke of what he saw as the three great Zionist achievements that he was able to witness in his life: the establishment of Israeli independence, the liberation of the Old City in 1967, and the peace with Egypt, in which he played such an important role. Because of these three moments highlighted by Begin, I have, in the unfolding of this story that I've been telling, devoted so many episodes to three events: the battle for independence, especially the fall of the Jewish quarter of the Old City in 1948, the Six-Day War and the unification of Jerusalem in 1967, and the story of the peace that Menachem Begin, with Anwar Sadat, brought into being. That is also why, having told these stories, it is with episode 290 that our own discussion of the 4,000-year history of Jerusalem draws to a close. What will follow are 10 more episodes, which will look back on what we have learned, tracing 10 themes to be found, 10 lessons to be learned in the story of Jerusalem. Though we will not focus in detail on the final decades of Jerusalem's story until now, 2023, we can note that much of what unfolded after Begin's passing vindicated Begin's vision. The Israel that evolved was one which became more religious, more connected to Jewish tradition, and with a civic culture much more impacted by members of Israeli society that came from the communities of the Eidot HaMizrach. Moreover, the errors of the Oslo Accords ultimately taught many what Begin himself had always proclaimed that Yasser Arafat would never be a partner in peace. Meanwhile, the astonishing achievements of the Abraham Accords reflect Begin's understanding that a strong Israel, unapologetic about its rights to Jerusalem, can also be one that makes peace with Arab countries. And perhaps the greatest vindication of Begin of all were the thousands that came to his burial and the many multitudes that miss him to this day. And if they do miss him so, it is because of the love of the Jewish people that was at the heart of his vision and which he understood lay at the heart of Jerusalem itself.
The Menachem Begin Heritage Center is the national commemoration project honoring and preserving the legacy of Israel's sixth prime minister. The Begin Center houses a library, archives, research center, educational department, and a full museum. Its mission is to pass on to the next generation the principles of Menachem Begin's values-driven leadership and to provide a space to explore what that means in today's complicated world. Visit the Begin Center in the heart of Jerusalem to experience the life and times of Menachem Begin.
Unlike the many heroes of the modern state buried on Mount Herzl, Menachem Begin had left a request for a very different burial. He had written to Yechiel Kadishai that Bevo Hayom, when the day came, he wished to be buried on the Mount of Olives, which of course was right near the Temple Mount, and he asked that he be laid to rest near the graves of Moshe Barzani and Meir Feinstein, the two young Jewish fighters from pre-state Israel that he had mentioned in his famous election speech. The two young men who had been caught and sentenced to death by the British, who in the prison cell, just before their scheduled execution, had tightly embraced, detonated a grenade, and died in each other's arms. For Begin, as we have seen, these two young heroes, one of them a Sephardi Jew from Iraq, the other an Ashkenazi Jew from Poland, personified a trio of linked truths, that Jews from anywhere and everywhere are bound by blood, that too often Jewish blood has been shed by the enemies of the Jewish people, and that Jews themselves must therefore never turn against their brethren. Begin's grave and their graves, near and in view of the Temple Mount, thus captures the very spirit of the sacred site that, in the words of the Psalms, was a city whose parts were joined together, a city shared by Judah and Benjamin, a city which thereby embodies the bond between all Jews. Begin, moreover, believed that this same bond stretched back in the Jewish people for generations. In his own choice to be laid to rest on the Mount of Olives, Begin was seeking to join generations of diaspora Jews from around the world that chose to be buried overlooking the site of the ancient temple, thereby linking and crediting the achievements of his own generation and of Begin's own life to the love and loyalty of those that had come before. In choosing to be buried in this traditional site, from which Jews had been barred by Jordan for almost 20 years, until Jerusalem's liberation in 67, Begin joined the past to the achievement of the IDF and the State of Israel in the present, thereby reminding us of the covenantal Zionism at the heart of Begin's worldview, which joined modern Jewish nationalism with reverence for tradition and the Jewish past. Thus, the Times article described how Begin's body was carried by surviving members of the Irgun, with his son Benny reciting the Kaddish. After describing this Kaddish, the Times article tells us, quote, "At this point, the service turned from a traditional Jewish funeral into a Zionist wake. The younger Begin, Prime Minister Shamir, and dozens of other old warriors and their offspring left the rabbis silent as they broke into the anthem of Beitar, the Zionist revisionist youth movement that Menachem Begin had joined in Poland at the age of 15, end quote. Jewish tradition and Jabotinskyite Zionism, this was Begin, and he was also the great lover of the Jewish people, and with sundown on the sacred city, that love was made manifest once more. The Times article tells us, quote, "As the sun set and the family and dignitaries left, many people, old, young, men, women, pushed past police officers to hurl themselves onto the gentle mound of Mr. Begin's grave. They had waited for hours, and now they kissed his grave and placed stones on it. Some read psalms. 'People are hurting,' one man said. 'They are casting themselves on his grave out of great love.'" In a statement of tribute, Prime Minister Shamir recalled the high points of Mr. Begin's life and career. "His vast heritage is chiseled in his deeds," he said, "and appears in his writings, a heritage that bespeaks the right of the Jewish people to its homeland. But others talked about a different Menachem Begin, a man who could be formal, yet simple and approachable. 'He was a great leader of the people of Israel, but he was humble,' said a man who lives near the funeral parlor. 'Years ago, I used to see him on my way to work. As he would walk to the parliament, I would say, 'Hello, Mr. Begin,' and he would bow and say, 'Good morning, my friend.' He had a great love for people." So the article ends. At the outskirts of the city of David, city of a king marked by both his majesty and his humility, Begin was remembered for his majesty and his humility. He was buried next to Jewish brothers who died in each other's arms, and he was buried next to his wife, to whom he had once paraphrased Jeremiah's words spoken in Jerusalem, words communicated by God. I remember the love of your youth, your bridal love. Thus Begin's humble grave is also majestic, reminding all those who stand there, staring at the Temple Mount, that Jerusalem is a city that makes Jews brothers and sisters, a city whose sanctity reflects the love of God for his people, a people to whom he has joined his name forever. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow, signing off.